sound you hear is what some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
And I'm a ground service agent. That means I lift a lot of bags. Like, a lot of bags. So many bags. Look at all them bags. Ooh, a purple one.
I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
Just flying the plane around, do you seem comfortable with that?
Oh, hell yeah, it's a blast, man. I've played video games before, so I know what I'm doing a little bit. Hey, I want the coordinates of that orca with the, you know, the mama orca with the baby. I want to go see that guy. I got a lot of people that care about me. It's gonna disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Damn it, Andrew! People's lives are at stake here!
Now, Rich, don't say stuff like that.
Nah, I just told you, I don't want to hurt no one. I just want you to whisper sweet nothings into my ear.
Now don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever above the earth and sky. It slips away. And don't give money one another minute by. Dust in the.
I wouldn't know how to land it. I wasn't really planning on landing it.
All we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind. Everything is dust.
A broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now. Everything's peachy. Peachy clear.
What? We live in a third dimensional plane. We can see the planets, the galaxies, the suns, universes. I'm not kidding around. They come here through interdimensional gates that are much closer. Through fold space. My dad told me about this when I was a teenager, and I would like later go to the library and couldn't find it, and then I Googled it. It's not even really in the news that they wanted to build a giant artificial system, a supercomputer. All of our thoughts go into it, and we're actually building a computer that has real neurons in real time that's also psychically connected to us, that are organic creatures that control the future. And so there's now a human counterstrike taking place to shut this off before it gets fully into place and to block these systems. And then they envisioned, okay, there's a double helix DNA discovery. Okay, biometrics. Okay, world government. Okay, computers. Okay, atomic weapons. Give me the equation. Well, let's just say we're not in Kansas anymore.
Smoke weed every day.
CNN's going to have me up here all clipped together. No. I'm in the zeitgeist. So in that zeitgeist, you just kind of see everything.
Right.
Even though you're like just a normal person, you can like look into any avenue, any window.
But
it was compressed data knowledge.
Right.
One claw. I didn't do anything. Totally compartmentalized. No one will know because it's all remote activated remote control. It's all remote control.
It's crazy, man.
Our brain is able to tune into the lowest dimension, the highest dimension.
I'm not high.
Space time continuum is like 100 years. It's a second. And we transmit our data up to be able to live next to like these Stargate jump gates that are suns. We only have like milliseconds to be alive. We are other dimensions.
I used to have a good memory. No, I don't remember.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome to the Crypto Report.
Welcome back. This is the Crypto Report for August 12th, 2018, and this is a new revamped version of the Crypto Report. I have a whole new crew, a wrecking crew, if you will, joining me today, and hopefully for the foreseeable future on the Crypto Report are my new co-hosts, Zyklon Don and Grandmaster Fash. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing well. I'm just a good old goy, never meaning no harm.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're glad to have you aboard. And how about you, Fash? How you been?
Just a good old boy. Same here, man.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. The Crypto Report was needing some new blood, and I was needing a reason to start doing it every week again. So hopefully this is going to do it. I think it will. I've known these two young fellas for a pretty good little while now, and I've been thinking about inviting them to do this for some time, and finally I did, and I'm sure the audience is going to appreciate what they bring to the show. But let's get right into it, guys. I think the big story, and of course all the other shows have talked about it, but all the other shows are not the Crypto Report. So Alex Jones has experienced a shutting. I mean, a big time shutting. You know, his business model depended heavily on mainly on being on YouTube. He used YouTube, several YouTube channels that some of them that were really big had millions of subscribers, the biggest one, I guess, being the Alex Jones channel. He got shut off of there this week, got banned completely from YouTube, and boy, do I know how that feels. It sucks. But he also got banned from Facebook. He and InfoWars in general, all their channels and pages and everything got banned, and I think he got banned from what was it, Spotify or something like that too. I don't know what the hell he was doing on there, but apparently his business model, or at least he thought it depended a lot on that for outreach. Of course, there are some articles out now saying that he's not, that his influence hasn't been brought down by this. But do you guys, Don, do you have a take on what's happened to Alex?
Absolutely. It's those damn Chinese. You can't trust them. They control everything.
That's right. It was, except Hollywood, apparently, and the Federal Reserve. According to Alex, the Arabs control Hollywood, and the Muslims control the Federal Reserve.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. Uh-huh. All those Arab Steens and Bergs and Felds and Bombs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can kind of understand, you know, Arabs and Jews are kissing cousins, so I guess it would be easy to see how Alex would get them mixed up. but now, seriously, there's the bigger issue here is, you know, Alex is one of these guys that never would name the Jew. And, like, when the Jew got named, whether he liked it or not, A good example was when David Duke came on and debated him for like the full show or whatever. You know, he pulled that because he lost, and David Duke made him look kind of silly. I mean, made him look so silly that his Jew producer, Rod Jacobson, had to come running out and try to save the whole thing. But apparently, being alt-right and refusing to name the Jew is not going to protect you from getting completely censored to death if they're able to do it. And, you know, a year ago when Daily Stormer started using its URLs and everything, Anglin and all the fans of the Daily Stormer and everything were just raising hell because people like Alex Jones, who claim to be these big free speech guys, you know, Jones, Molyneux, all these guys, they refused to say a peep about it. You know, they just ignored it as though it wasn't happening. And everybody kept saying it's going to happen to you next. And here we are a year later and it's happening.
Yeah. Well, they thought that as long as they didn't talk about it much and kept to their, non-naming the Jew, that they would be safe from future censoring or banishments. But this is apparent that it's not going to protect them, and now they're all going to have to worry. But I still don't think that that's going to make them start naming things they weren't naming before.
I don't either.
For some reason, I don't know what would stop them now.
No, I think it's going to make them cuck harder, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it probably will. Because, you know, as we've been seeing, it's been going along on a lot longer than the alt-right's been around, but it's really accelerated since the alt-right has been a thing, and anybody who is to the right of, say, Chairman Mao, the left can shout at them that, you know, you're alt-right racists or whatever, or you're neo-Nazis, and it always puts these people on the defensive, and they cuck harder and cuck harder and cuck harder and try to prove that they're not racists and that the people calling them racists are the real racists and everything.
Yep.
But it doesn't seem to be helping because, you know, like, for example, there's an article on Daily Stormer by Lee Rogers that the title is "Ignoring the Jewish Problem Won't Save Anyone from the Social Media Banhammer." And he links from an article in Variety. And so they have moved on from Alex. They've got him suspended off everything. And Gavin McInnes just got the ban hammer. And, man, you talk about a cut guy. He will not even say that he's for white people for the most part. Like when he had Emily Yukis on there that time when she was naming the Jew till he, like, ended the thing, she got him to say the 14 words, but then he wouldn't say for a future for white children. He's a future for Western children and stuff like that. And he's gone now.
It's especially the Indian guy who's my vice president, Broad Boy's fucking kid or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he's married to an Indian woman. And I mean, like, feather Indian, not dot Indian. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so
that's what I've heard.
I guess it would be kind of hard. I mean, so why would he be worried about the future of white children anyway? I mean, I guess he would be worried about the future of light red children or something.
Yeah, of mystery meat children.
Yeah.
But we took that land from them anyways. I mean, they are the real Westerners, right, Ez?
I guess so. Not, but
That's what he meant the whole time. It's just a front for fucking Native American supremacy, I think.
Well, yeah. Well, they came here from as far east as you can get. Allegedly, you know, this future for Siberian children, I guess. But the Variety article says Twitter suspended the accounts of Vice magazine co-founder Gavin McInnes and his far-right Proud Boys group Friday afternoon. The accounts were shut down for violating the company's policies prohibiting violent extremist groups, Twitter said in a statement to BuzzFeed News, which was the first to report the suspension. So no matter how much Gavin cucks and no matter how many big black butt plugs he shoves up his rectum on his show, he still got suspended. And, you know, the really hypocritical thing about this Proud Boys deal you know, if they're trying, they're trying to say, well, they're a violent extremist group. And I guess because of things like what happened in Portland a couple of weeks ago, where
that has to be it.
Yeah. Where they got in some fights with Antifa, but I'll bet you no Antifa accounts were suspended over this. And anyone who watches the videos knows that. And it's not just this time that, you know, they roll out with the intent to do this shit. And, you know, the people who are pulling their strings don't care if they get their asses beat, because either way they win. You know, they just make sure that there's a giant violent shit show every time anybody who, I mean, not even like pro-white, just anybody who's a little bit conservative might come out. I mean, Antifa has gone out and attacked, like, you know, grandmas and grandpas, you know, Tea Party types and shit before. So
they know they won't get blamed for it. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. The media gives them a complete pass. And
of course.
Well, they get a complete pass, and they also get to use whoever's standing around as their fucking pet Nazi. You know, this is when I used to watch Gavin McInnes's shit when he was, you know, just getting started. One of his whole things was, you know, everybody's getting called a Nazi and this and that, but look at them fucking cucking so hard about that. All these Antifa people need is for an old person to be walking by with a fucking Donald Trump shirt on. Doesn't care if they're 80 years old. They're going to make that guy their Nazi if we're not around. And I think what's happening is the Proud Boys are around, and we're smart enough to not be around right now. So there's your Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the next best thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and it's you don't even have to be wearing a Trump hat or anything. I mean, I've seen videos, and I think these were out of like Berkeley. I've seen videos where they would have these moronic 18, 19-year-old looking, you know, pudgy white guys with the Antifa mask on, or maybe just a bandana over their face or whatever, and they would be like some I remember specifically one was like this guy in his 70s, some old Vietnam veteran who's in a wheelchair, and he's got his American Legion hat on, you know, his veterans group hat on. And this anti-fag who is openly a communist is telling this guy what a piece of shit un-American he is. He's, you're un-American. I'm un-American. I fought for this fucking country, you little faggot, you know. And people had to get in between them because he was going to attack the old man in the wheelchair. Yeah, I'm really surprised that we haven't seen. I guess it's because not so many people on the right wing side of things show up in wheelchairs and stuff. But I'm really surprised that we haven't seen Antifa running around and tipping over wheelchairs. And I mean, I hope that nobody got hurt if they did, but boy, would that be good optics for us.
Oh, great, man.
I doubt they'd show it on the news, though.
Antifa fucking with Lieutenant Dan over in Charlottesville.
Well, yeah, but you know, that is a problem, is that it's not going to get shown in the media, at least not in the mainstream media. I mean, you know, this stuff goes down, and anything that is bad publicity for them never hits the mainstream media. I mean, you can watch hours of this stuff every week on YouTube. And, you know, fortunately, that's where younger people are getting the vast majority of their information from. I guess people about my age, you know, Gen X types, it's about half and half. And, like, I would never watch cable news if it weren't for the fact that, like, you know, I report on this stuff from time to time, so I kind of have to watch it. And I do like Tucker. I like watching that show. But I get all my information off the internet, and that's where most younger people get it from. But, you know, you've got all these boomers and Gen Xers who trust the mainstream. I mean, they say they don't trust the mainstream media, but they trust the mainstream media, and they watch it. I mean, they may not trust it, you know, when they come roaring out with all these claims of what Trump did or something like that. But, you know, when they report on, oh, you know, there was this riot in Portland last week, and it was these Nazis and all, you know, they completely trust that because they've had that paradigm beaten into their heads. And Don, you and I were discussing in private earlier today, it's a weird change that has come over the country in the last 30 or 35 years or so, where you know, just like back in the 80s and 90s, nobody in their right mind was going around saying they were communists, and the media couldn't express sympathy or build narratives around these communists are the good guys. And now that has completely flipped itself on its head. People virtue signal by saying, I am a communist, and you see it all the time.
Yeah, no, that back then it was, there was a few people, but it wasn't as rampant as it is now. Now you have ex TV show stars coming out and they're running, I don't know, for some congressita, some girl from the Sex and the City show. She's running as a socialist, which is basically a communist. And she's out and proud and saying it. And she's like, well, that's what they're calling us, so let's give them what they want. And yeah, they got a lot of support too. It's pretty backwards.
Well, yeah. And the, you know, the Jews have the conservative goyim right where they want them too, because rather than calling these people out for what they are and saying, you are fucking communists, these people, these conservatives, like, I think it was the last video uploaded to the Alex Jones channel was Waterhead baby Owen Schroyer, at that, whatever it was, a rally or protest or whatever it was in, Berkeley last Sunday, I guess it was the day after the Portland thing. And, he's shouting at these Antifa, you're the real fascist. Look at you. You're fascist. You're Nazis. And no, Owen, these are communists. And so, you know, it's this whole narrative where everybody is trying to out virtue signal everybody else. Both sides are accusing the other side of being fascists, and there aren't really any fascists present.
Yeah, no, it's insane. It's an absolute clown world. They're the Nazis. We're the Nazis. Like, who's the Nazis? Like, it's just a blurred thing now. And now they've said it on the news. People are all confused. Normies are confused when they hear this because they don't know what to make of it. It's like, okay, who are the Nazis?
Yeah,
but I think I think all three of us on the call, at least, and I think a majority of our audience is probably taking great pleasure in that. You know, some of these guys would throw us under the bus so fast, man. And it just makes me sick to think that you know. Oh no, those guys are the real Nazis over there. Let's point over there. But it's really funny to kind of see them being, oh no, no, you kidding me? You calling us Nazis? Are you serious? Well, dude, we have the same, I mean, a lot of us at least have the same opinions. It's just that some of us are open about it, some of us are not. But in my experience, man, these alt-right guys, man, all they do is they want to throw us under the bus so quick. I hope they learn their lesson.
It's really childish. It's like the old, like the kid, what kids used to do. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Like, what? What the fuck? These are like children.
Yeah. Yeah. I get the feeling that a lot of these Owen Schroyer types and all, when they were growing up, they got picked on a lot and they would run home crying to their mother, and their mother would tell them, look, when they call them a duty head, you tell them, no, you're the duty head.
Exactly. And,
but
that's what we're seeing.
But this whole thing, it really demonstrates both the historical and the political retardation of the normie American, because depending on who's talking, and it's both sides of the middle, you know, I mean, When we talk about left wing and right wing, well, of course, there's plenty of extreme left wing in what's fairly mainstream America politically. But what they call the right wing, the mainstream right wing, that ain't right wing. It's really historically, it's kind of left of center. You know, what the conservatives believe and what a lot of the younger conservatives and the more wishy-washy vote grubbing type conservatives believe would have been like stuff that the most leftist Democrats would have been for in the 80s and 90s. I mean, you know, you got all these Republicans who are like, well, we have to do outreach to all these trannies and fags, you know, and we're for gay marriage now and all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is one of the many definitions of what of apparently a neo-Nazi or just a Nazi or whatever or fascist is now is if you believe the same thing that your father or grandfather who fought the Nazis in World War II, if you hold the same opinions about society and, you know, race and gender and all that good shit as they did. You are a Nazi because.
Yeah. Basically, if you believe the truth, you're a Nazi.
Yeah. 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 If you think race is real and it matters and, you know, if you don't want, you know, your kids, marrying people of other races or whatever, if you don't want your race completely, annihilated from the face of the planet, you know, with all this cultural Marxist, white genocide narrative shit. If you don't want grown pervert men pissing next to little girls in public bathrooms, you are Nazi.
Absolutely. If you don't hate yourself, you're a Nazi.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just really insane. And it's whipping into overdrive, you know, now it's been kind of a narrative for a year or two now. You know, there are like these tranny activists who are making videos and writing articles on the, you know, bigger sites like HuffPo and BuzzFeed and stuff. It's like, you know, like that maybe straight men need to be forced to date trans women too, because like they're evil. They're discriminating against women if they don't date trans women, because trans women are women too. And I'm like, man.
Yeah. That's transphobic if you don't want to date a trans woman.
Yeah. And the phobic thing, I don't like the phobic thing because, like, you know, they say you're homophobic or you're transphobic. Well, phobic means you have an irrational fear, and I don't have an irrational fear of these people. If I have any fear of them, it's completely natural. But the overwhelming feeling I actually have for them is disgust. You know, they nauseate me. They make me think of, you know, tossing things off high buildings and such.
Is there a song about that?
Yeah, there is. That's right. That's right. But the only fear that myself or most anybody who, you know, is, loudly and openly against this stuff is the effect that it has on society. And it's a perfectly founded fear, because we see every day now, you know, they've got these weird, just demonic looking trannies reading children's stories to kindergarten kids about how great it is to be a tranny. And then, you know, they get in third or fourth grade and they have these leftist women coming in, into class and demonstrating how to use a dildo on their anus and things like that.
Those are gifts from God, though, man. Those are gifts from God to show normies. Show me a normie that fucking sit still and watch that. You know what I mean? I mean, that really, as somebody with kids, and I know you, Don, that's got to really make your, you know, goosebumps.
Yeah, it activates my almonds, definitely. I have four kids, so it really annoys the shit out of me. My kids are pretty based, I would have to say. So, I mean, I'm not looking forward to it, but I know it's going to happen this school year. You know, one of my sons doesn't have a filter. He's pretty outspoken. And I have a feeling his teacher is going to be calling me about something he says. Or
can we broadcast that?
Yeah. When the teacher meeting happens, I'll go and I'll put the phone in my pocket and record it.
It'll be a bit. It'll be a live bit. Yeah.
Well, I wish we could, though. We don't want to dox the kid.
Of course. But
I mean, yeah. And depending on what part of the country you're in, you know, like they take away people's kids now for stuff like, well, you know, my 10-year-old wanted to start gender reassignment therapy. You know, the teacher at school convinced him he was a girl and he needed to do this. And the parents said no. And like, I think this was in Ohio. The court comes and takes the kid away from the parents and gives him to whichever set of grandparents it was. They said, oh, yeah, we think he should have it.
Damn it. I did not know that was in Ohio. I thought that was in Canada.
Well, Canada has kind of passed a law saying that they're going to do that. But, you know, and there are, like Rhode Island, had some local, school boards that decided that all this tranny and fag stuff, you know, they were going to have their school counselors help the kids with all this stuff. And I think it was up to and including like helping them go get gender reassignment therapy. And they were like, and if the kid tells you their parents are against this, we do not tell the parents. And this kind of thing has been going on for decades. That's one of the really bad things about public school is that, you know, since it was made not just a local thing, you know, first that the states took it over, and then the federal government came in and usurped most of the power of the states. And ever since, they, you know, the left uses, takes every opportunity they can when there's a, you know, a cultural choke point where they see a chance to step in and do it, where they get the state between the children and the parents. And like one of the first ones was the whole abortion thing. You know, they got the school counselors counseling 13, 14 year old girls who are fucking like porn stars in the school, and they get pregnant. And these counselors have been counseling them about using, doing birth control and all this time. And now they counsel them on going and getting an abortion and all that. And it's policy not to tell the parents.
Yeah. And now they can go get abortions without even getting their parents' permission in some states, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Are they giving out cards for that yet? Like five, you get five, you get one free, or?
I don't know. I think based on the profile of the average abortion customer, they might go out of business if they did that. And it's a real hard thing to know on a person-to-person basis. But like, I remember how shocked I was once when this girl that I knew fairly well, who had told me that she had had one abortion, at some point broke down and started telling me how, like, she had had like six. And I was like, what the fuck? And I mean, we're not talking about like a 40-year-old. We're talking about like a 25-year-old, you know?
Well, it's like modern day birth control.
Yeah. Six turns into 6 million really quick.
Oof.
Yeah.
He's genocidal with those abortions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, we're going kind of far astray here, but the point, everybody is about to get banned from social media and from the internet if this alleged bunch of Republicans that we have in Congress won't face up to the fact that some kind of regulation needs to be put in place here. Because, you know, you've got all these guys in the GOP who they decry all this censorship, and they go, you know, they drag Zuckerberg, and apparently Dorsey from Twitter, the CEO of Twitter, is about to be dragged in front of them. And they've had all these Google executives and everything in front of them. And they, you know, get all these little promos for their next campaign by going after them, you know, and making them look like liars when they accuse them of censoring conservatives and not liberals and all this. But then when you ask them, okay, well, what's the next step? Regulation of social media? And they're like, oh my God, no, that's a private company, you know? And
yeah, people are saying that the reason why Dorsey hasn't banned Alex Jones is because he is set to go in front of some kind of committee for a hearing.
Well, that's my theory. Yeah. And like his upper level employees, you know, that like the head of safety and all these other positions like that, they're like openly revolting against him. You know, he put out his tweet about how Alex hadn't violated his terms of service. And like, I think this bitch is the head of safety, but she jumps in there and she's, you know, she quote tweets him and says, "Oh, I differ, Jack." And she quotes the thing about targeted harassment, and then says, you know, well, all these fans of Alex Jones have been going around and harassing the parents of kids who got shot at Sandy Hook. Now, I don't know how much I think, as much as we're hearing about this, I think the media is exaggerating that. I think maybe it happened a time or two or something, but they're making it sound like, you know, just hordes of Alex Jones fans started going around to the addresses of every kid who got shot at Sandy Hook and banging on the door. "You liar, you paid political actor," and all this.
Prove it.
Yeah.
And it's boring, you know, the truth is boring to these so-called journalists. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But the thing is, and this is something everybody should know, because Twitter's been doing this for a couple of years now. She says, and it doesn't matter if he didn't do it on our platform, because our policy is that what they do outside of Twitter can affect whether they get banned, get, you know, their blue check mark taken away and all that. And that's absolutely true. The first time they had a big round of taking away people's blue check marks, it was people who would attend political rallies or something like that that Twitter didn't like. And even if they didn't tweet about it, they're like, well, you know, I mean, anything you do in your life outside of Twitter, that Twitter has Twitter has control over that as far as terms of service of being on here.
I can't believe that shit. So, yeah. And, you know, these people are doing fucking degenerate stuff all the time. You know, they're definitely doing nasty, disgusting things. It's just that, you know, the spotlight is only on people when they're doing things that are that don't fit the narrative.
Oh, I saw what you did there. Yeah, it doesn't fit their narrative.
Well, yeah, and it's true. I mean, these people are doing degenerate stuff all the time, but I mean, all this degeneracy is celebrated now. I mean, it's like in this globo homo culture that we have now, the most virtuous thing you can possibly do is, you know, some type of unnatural sex act or some type of unnatural gender identity or whatever. I mean, you know, we have flip-flopped so fast from like people who are queer and can't get their queerness off their mind, hiding it, you know, because they have to hide it, to people just wanting to be gay or wanting to be trannies, because the minute they step out and say, you know, okay, here I'm out, I'm a queer, I'm a tranny or whatever, everybody's like, oh my God, you're a superhero. You're the absolute apex of morality. You're so brave. Mm,
the bravery.
Well, it's because they're born that way, you bigot. What's next, though? I mean, really, how? What's the boiling point? What's next? Dogs and
pedophilia? No, it's pedophilia. I was just talking about this with a buddy of mine the other day. It's a final taboo, and they've pretty much already crossed it.
Yeah, I mean, the dog thing has been happening for a while. I mean, there are like animal brothels in Germany now, and.
Well, you know what? Well, it's not the Germans that are doing it, though, Goy. So.
Oh, it's not. I thought those were in Germany.
Well, they're Germans now, but.
Yeah. Oh, well, Germans speak like Arabic, don't they?
Germans do speak Arabic. So do French people, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, in one of the chat rooms I'm in, I saw a member the other day saying, you know, that he was trying to learn to speak German now, and not to spoil the mood of the conversation of, you know, somebody talking about, well, I'm trying to better myself and learn a language. I bit my tongue and didn't say it, but I want to say, well, if you're going to learn a language and you want to communicate with Germans, you better start studying fucking Arabic. Because I mean, that's going to,
I thought you were going to tell him, yeah, I thought you were going to tell him work will set you free in German or something, but yeah.
Yeah. Sure. What? Yeah. Arbeit macht frei. Of course it does. But,
my pronunciation, I don't spricken it that well.
Yeah. I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly either. I'm just pronouncing it the way I read it. I don't speak German, but, I'm not German. I speak the language of my ancestors. I am the eternal Anglo. But I don't even know how we got to all this out of the it's great, but I mean,
they're coming for everyone. It's not just Jones. It's not just Jones. But I think the whole point of it is that they came for the Daily Stormer way, way before they came for Alex Jones. Nobody talks about it, you know, because we actually do name the those guys.
It's been a year now since they took down DailyStormer.com, and boy, what a circuitous and constant attack that it was. I mean, you know, first, I think the first thing that happened was like Cloudflare, Matthew Prince, the CEO, got mad and pulled the DDoS protection. And of course, the site immediately went down. And then, you know, the domain registry, and I was like, you got to go get somebody else. So they go get Google, and Google says, okay, well, now that you've registered with us, that's our property, the dailystormer.com, and you can't have it. And from there, it was like, I don't know how many, 17, 18 domains that they had to go through before they finally got to dailystormer.name, which, you know, knock wood, is held for quite a while. And it was so easy. For so long, I mean, you had like Michael Edison Hayden, who, you know, the former now disgraced reporter on the alt-right beat for Newsweek, you know, all he had to do would be like to call one of these registries in whatever country it was in and say, yeah, do you guys know you're hosting the most infamous neon Nazi site on earth, the Daily Stormer? Do you have a comment about that? Because we're going to run a story about that. So, you know, you might want to get a comment in there about that. And of course, there's the threat. And so like, oh no, we got to take that down. And it just, it went on and on like that for I don't know how long.
Well, by my count, we're on the 16th domain name. I don't know about InfoWars.
16th.
16, Don?
I believe so. I'd have to look at some documentation.
It's either 16 or 17th by my count. But yeah, I don't know if InfoWars has ever had the dot wang.
It's an even number. I know that for a fact. So it's either 16 or 18.
Oh, okay.
You've never been to InfoWars.wang before?
I think it's it's 6 million. But yeah, now that Alex is really going to lose his shit if they take that, because, you know, I think at least in the short term, this social media suppression that's happened to Alex is really going to be filling his bank account up with shekels, understandably, because, you know, the people who support him, who've never subscribed or whatever, you know, if they want to go and take advantage of his material, they don't have much choice but to go subscribe now, because, you know, he was giving away all his video content, for free, and you know, not live. I think maybe he made you wait a day or two before the latest, video edition of, InfoWars would be posted, or whatever amount of time it was. But if you wanted to watch it live and you wanted to get, InfoWars Overdrive, when he when he decided to go past the 2 hours, we're going into overdrive. But if you wanted to get that, you had to be subscribed, and there were a lot of other perks you got for being subscribed. And you know, the people who have just been like, well, yeah, I'll watch the thing on YouTube or whatever, they can't do that now. And of course, when your enemy attacks you like that, the people who support you want to give you money. So I'm sure the brain force and the tangy tangerine and all is flying off the shelves as well. But, I don't know that long term, and especially if they come after InfoWars.com, if they come after his .coms and his prisonplanet.com and all that, Alex is screwed.
Just don't take the real red pills off the market, because if I stop taking my Alex Jones real red pills, I might go back to blue pill, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if the...
Yeah, the Thernovich pill.
The Thernovich pill is blue.
Blue pill.
But I wonder if the red pills have any... I wonder if the red pills have any soy in them. Because I think it was Super Male Vitality that if you read the ingredients, it had soy in it.
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh. Turning the humans gay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're stuffing the super male vitality. It's turning the humans gay.
And then he's gonna sell the cure, and then what he'll do is he'll turn us all gay and then sell us the cure to AIDS.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, I think all this suppression stuff is for the most part backfired on the echoes who have been implementing them. So I don't see this to be any different. Like you said, I see a lot of traffic going to his website now from this. So as mad as he wants to pretend he is, he probably is mad, but this is going to help him, and he's just going to get more money from it. So,
oh, absolutely. And in the short term, I hope this stuff really ramps up, because, you know, a lot of the same groups that were pushing to get Alex's stuff taken off the Facebooks were also pushing to get Fox News taken off there.
Right.
And I mean, they just making these arguments with a straight face. I mean, I want to see Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and all this. I want to see them get really, really like even handed with this and just start going after everything to the right of Bernie Sanders. I want to see him take down Tucker Carlson's Twitter. And I want to see Mark Stein get thrown off Facebook
you know, totally not racist.
Right. Yeah. They're not racist, but you know, they're the reason that they gave for taking Alex Jones off Facebook was hate speech. And Alex Jones is the guy who, you know, we famously have really criticized him for years because of his statement that you can go listen to it on YouTube right now on 1,000 Mirrors, where he says, I don't care if the country turns 85% non-white, as long as they love the Constitution and the guns, you know.
You do a pretty good Alex, man.
Well, we're from close to the same area. All I have to do is make my voice real hoarse. We have the same accent, but yeah, Alex moved to the People's Republic of Austin, but he's from around here.
Yeah, it must be the proximity.
And what a weird place for him to be. I mean, I guess it's the proper place to be because, you know, he seems normal now. Everything has gone so weird in society and all. But Alex is kind of a weird character himself.
And I gotta say, man, I bet you any money Alex saw this coming. I think he's a smart guy. I mean, the guy has made a living out of going like 90% there, right?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think, Az, about him being called? You don't have to answer this, but what do you think about all these people saying that Alex is controlled opposition? Do you have any comment?
Well, I don't think he's controlled in the sense that, like, you know, Israel or the ADL or the federal government or somebody like that is paying him or, you know, telling him what to say or whatever. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he's a gatekeeper, intentionally or not. And, I don't know what it is, you know, what the percentage of his, advertisers that are Jewish now are, but, you know, back when I used to listen to him, like back in 2012, 2013 and all, when I used to listen to him fairly regularly, I would notice that like all of Alex's advertisers were Jewish, you know, that soap company and that's kind of funny. He had a Jewish soap company, but, and, you know, he was on the Genesis Broadcasting Network forever that was owned by Jews. And, you know, like we said, he's got all these producers that are Jews and, and both of his wives have been Jews and, you know, even like the stripper that he married after he divorced the first wife, she was a Jew. And you know, I don't know. And he came, you know, he came out of, like being kind of a normie conservative. I, you know, it was crap like Waco and Ruby Ridge that made him all woke, where he was, you know, talking about the government conspiracies and everything. But he's got to know better than by now, and he has to for years, to know better by now that, you know, like this Illuminati is a Germanic Nazi death cult, that's a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, he used to get this stuff from one of the biggest sources of it was this book called Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier. And people still buy that thing by the case. You know, Ghost, my former co-host at Hidden Mysteries Radio, had the Hidden Mysteries bookstore. And like I answered the phone there a few times when he wasn't around, and it would always be people like, yeah, this is so-and-so. We need 100 copies of Bloodlines of the Illuminati for our monthly book club or whatever. And I'm like, wow, you know, that he really sells the shit out of these things. And, you know, it's this whole book that goes through all this, you know, all these families that are controlling the world and everything, and never mentions the Jews.
Fuck. I've never heard of that before, Ez.
Yeah. Oh, it's big. Just Google it sometime. Alex sold it. I mean, he may still, but he sold it in the InfoWars store for, I don't know. I mean, he was still selling it a couple of years ago and he'd always sold it. But yeah, I mean, that's what it always comes down to. You know, it's like all these people, all the bad guys, they're all the Nazis. It's the Nazis are coming. You know, and
oh, I'm looking at it right now. Fritz Springmeier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's got the big eagle on it. Wow.
Yeah. And it's an interesting book. I mean, I haven't ever like sat and read it, but, you know, I've got a copy of it that like the cover got damaged. And so it didn't ship out. And I was like, hey, can I have that? And he's like, yeah. And I flipped through it and it's got a lot of interesting stuff in it. But, you know, it delves too deep into like the, Knights Templars and crap like that. You know? I mean, it's like, but people have always loved that stuff because that stuff's really safe when you think about it, because as long as you're blaming, like, you know, it's a 2,000-year-old conspiracy or whatever, as long as you can pick out these weird shadowy groups or these, long defunct royal bloodlines or whatever, you know. Like one of the things that Alex used to like say was like, you know, this one or that one. He's a direct descendant of Vlad Dracula. And, you know, you can blame it on all that stuff. Well, nobody's going to come get you. You know, you're not going to be disappeared because you claim that the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and all that are being run by Hitler's descendants. Because the fact of the matter is that's bull. I mean, I'm not saying he said that exactly, but no men in black are going to come grab you and throw you in some secret prison cell in Area 51 because you stumbled onto this thing. But
yeah, what'd you say about the Nazis?
Right.
What'd you say about the Nazis? They need to silence you.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. You've exposed the time traveling Nazis. We have to take you away. But
yep. Yeah. Look into this light. Right.
Yeah. But it, you know, that's never going to happen. It's totally safe because that's just bullshit. And the people who are actually controlling things, it's good for them for, people who are like maybe willing to think outside the box a little bit to be led along by a Judas goat like that, who just makes up these crazy things to get views or whatever. And, what gets you in trouble is when you're like, hey, you know what? It's the Jews. I've looked into it, and these Jews sure have a whole lot of undue influence. What are these Jews doing running my country? You know, it's amazing the pushback you suddenly get when you say things like that.
I was also going to say it depends if you're, you know, on what demographic you're talking to. Or,
well, yeah.
Yeah, when I talk to the greatest generation or when I talk to the silent generation, you know, grandparents and stuff like that, they're more based than we are.
Yeah, we'll be
if you can believe it.
They've made everyone feel sorry about the whole fake Holocaust thing, so that garners the sympathy to shield them from such blasphemous
words. Mean, this all this push for Holocaust propaganda and stuff really picked up like in the late 60s and early 70s, and it's even like it wasn't really being taught in school even when I went to school. Like, you know, well, I mean, to an extent it was. Like when I was in I think maybe fourth grade in reading class, you know, we had to read a big section of the Diary of Anne Frank, but I think that was it. I mean, I don't recall like in social studies, you know, having Holocaust Week and all that, the way they just Holocaust, Holocaust, Holocaust to the kids now. But, you know, popular media, you know, movies and TV shows and stuff like that, all this Holocaust talk really started picking up in the late 60s and early 70s. But the interesting thing about it is, as much as they bitch about the Germans and the Holocaust, and as much as they hold that over our heads and claim that, you know, if we organize as white people, that's going to lead to another Holocaust, and so we can't be allowed to do it, I've never once heard any representative of organized Jewry thank American white people and English white people and all that for saving them from this alleged Holocaust.
Of course not. No, we owe it to them to save them. They are the chosen people.
Well, I mean, but it's worse than just that we owe it to them to save them. I mean, it's practically like now, and they flat out say this a lot, it's our fault just as much as it was the Germans, because like, Eisenhower didn't want to let, you know, several thousand lice-ridden Jews get off of a ship in the middle of the night in 1939. Not Eisenhower, I mean Roosevelt, in 1939 or whatever, and we didn't get into the war soon enough. And all that is totally our fault. And you'll hear all the time, whenever it comes up, you know, you ask one of these Jews when they're talking about the 6 million, the 6 million, the 6 million, and you're like, well, what about the like 65 or 70 million non-Jews that died in that war? You know, don't they count just as much? And they'll straight up tell you, no, they don't, because there's a difference. It's genocide. I can't remember what anchor it was that's precisely what they said, but that, you know, that is what they said. It's genocide. It's different. And so like, you know, it's worse when a Jew fake dies than when the Goyim die for real at the behest of Jews.
Yeah, no one talks about the Holodomor at all, and that was a genocide, wasn't it? What about the Armenians? No one really talks about that much. Those things actually happen.
Yeah, and that. Yeah, and there were well, not with the Armenian genocide, but the Holodomor had, by several factors, a larger death count. And but I mean, that one was done by Jews, so it's okay. And yeah, and you know, even though that stuff is well documented, and like there are endless photos of the starving children, and there's the quotes for, like, a bunch of mothers of these starving children went and spoke to Trotsky when he was the head of the Red Army, and you know, implored him. He said, "We're starving. Please help us," and all that. And he said, "Well, are you eating your babies yet? Because when you mothers start eating your own children, then I'll believe you're starving," and dismiss them, you know. And like, even if you go look up the Holodomor on Wikipedia, they claim that it's a freaking conspiracy theory. But the Holocaust totally, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, millions of people getting starved to death by communists that everybody knows happened. That's a conspiracy theory. But roller coasters going directly into ovens.
Yeah.
Pedal-powered brain bashing machines. And
masturbation machines as well.
Masturbation machines.
What about, don't forget the moving knife machines too.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally real. Totally.
Oh,
real.
I believe that for sure. Pelvic ashtrays. I mean, who doesn't want one of those, right?
Nah. Yeah, I could use one. I mean, there's never enough places to put all your ashes.
Oh, of course.
But, let's see. Well, I think it's about time for us to take a break. We're bumping up on 1 hour. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we're going to have some interesting music and a couple little things. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Crypto Report. We'll be right back after this break.
At a cocktail party last night, and believe me, no one was thinking that we need some cannibals, poor black people, or lesbians to make it a better party.
I'm about to spit just a little bit, throw a kike off a boat, sick of all the shit. Yeah, yeah, slimy Jude wanna get me in the clink due to being fascist with my Nazi wrong think. Yeah, I'm all about the pellets, call me dropper. All right, it's full of feds, no coppers. Labels try to hit me with the slow mo. I'ma have to say no, no. I'ma have to hit them with the gas flow. Yeah, yeah. Rhino cups are owned by the Cokes. I never take usury loans, J-Woke. I just love rope, not the nigger it's attached to. Smelling like a rotten batch of soul food. So black, I only see their teeth, just send them home. Oh my lord, I'ma set them up like Home Alone. Why you always gotta be so racist? I call it like I see it, and you know this.
Do you know what it is to be a white man who can summon fire from the sky? We fight for the land that's under our feet, women that worship the power in our loins.
Wife chained in the kitchen, fam, know what I mean? Cooking food, making babies, keeping everything clean. She never leaves the house, I don't let her. Make a steak now, eat it with some salt and pepper. And my kids' school, they glorify niggas with lies and fibs. Things they invented, what a crock of shit. I keep the oven lit for thought chicks. Kebabs, niggas, fix, get turned to ashes. Cremating Semites, I'm anti-Semitic. The time is coming quick, so sick of these tricks from Jews. Boy, I need to get a clue what heaps do. Start loading up the roller coaster, dude, not kidding. Better late than never, time to hit the gas quick like Andretti. Making ash confetti while we eat spaghetti. Now I'm looking for the keys to my Mercedes black wagon G. Ah!
They're finally saying it out loud. The parasites, leeches.
The great game is over, dude.
Growing every month, always on the hunt, always on Twitter. Blue check mark, you know I'm fucking with her. Got Euro blood, I'm in Cali though. Swastika wallpaper in my bungalow. Don't press me, heat, no you wanna spew it. Don't stress me, nose, come to your house and blew it. Then we'll be rounding up all the merchants, fabricating ashtrays and curtains. Big brain, yellow stars, get shrunk heads. Lock shabos, goys in the cuck shed. We tar and feather those faggot punks and have nooses for Nick smoking blunts. And that's all day, and we fashion out. Hey, H.
Sexist bigot.
Fuck you.
Welcome back to The Crypto Report.
Oh, Okay, we are back. And wasn't that an awesome interlude, guys? Wasn't that a great break?
It was the best.
I mean, none of us knows what it is. I haven't even decided what it's going to be yet, but we know it was awesome.
I don't lie much, but when you ask me if something's great, I'm going to agree with you because I tend to agree with everything you say. So that's fine.
It's always great. So it's a good prediction. I don't screw around and load crap into my break. It'll be something good. Probably be like some cyber Nazi. Who knows? It might be like a Zyklon Don rap song or something. Maybe not? We'll see. Because I do have one of the greatest racist, anti-Semitic, hateful rappers on my show now. A couple of them, actually. They're both here. As it turns out, I was apparently an aspiring rapper, too, and I didn't know it. All I had to do is, like, talk, and
I didn't know you could
my voice
like
gets
that,
cut
man.
Up, and suddenly I'm speaking.
Hey, the magic of technology.
Yeah. I mean, just wait until I start freestyling.
Well, I mean, Don, why don't you go ahead and drop a beat?
No, we don't want to do that. not if you're wanting me to rap on it. I mean, I'll probably just say "nope, nigger" over and over. Or something.
That'll work. They will put some auto tune on it and make it sound real fresh.
No, or should it be "thank God they're niggers"?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
One of the two. Either way, that's in the past, though. That's the past.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Anyway, we had that great break, and I want to talk about the wall, because even though we don't have the wall, we have some small pieces of the wall, a small portion of the new border wall system. And it's already paying huge dividends. This is from an article on Daily Storm. It also happens to be by Lee Rogers. Illegal alien breaks legs after falling off new 30-foot high border wall. Lee says the people who say that walls don't work are obviously very stupid people. Walls are very effective at preventing individuals from accessing specific areas. Don't believe me? Just ask this taco monkey who had a very bad day thanks to this new section of a 30-foot high border wall that was just built. And he quotes from the AP. A man attempting to enter the United States illegally has fallen from a new 30-foot high wall in California, breaking both his legs. Excellent, excellent. Border Patrol surveillance video shows the man lying motionless on the ground after tossing his body over the bollard-style barrier Sunday night in downtown Calexico, east of San Diego. I guess it's probably pronounced Calexico. I don't know. Paramedics determined that the man broke his legs and may have injured his back, if we're lucky. He was taken to a hospital in Palm Springs. So, guys, I don't know if you remember this, but when Trump started running on the wall and everything, they asked Janet Napolitano about this wall business when she was still, she was the lesbian in chief of Homeland Security. And she said, show me a 50 foot wall and I'll show you a 51 foot ladder. And everybody's like, oh my God, she's such an expert. Well, yeah, but how do you get down the other side?
That's a good point.
I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? I don't think you're going to like balance yourself on top of that 51 foot wall and drag that 50 foot wall and drag that 51 foot ladder over the other side.
No, unless you took a winch up with you.
Yeah. And the worst part for this taco monkey is that, we're going to have to pay for his medical treatment because that's the way we do it. You know, we got him, they're going to take him to the hospital and everything. But he's going to be immediately deported unless this is his second time here, which means he'll have to go to jail and then be deported. You know, you injure yourself like this coming over. And there's not any of this, well, we're going to give you a hearing stuff.
Well, I mean, jailing them costs us money. So it's like, I don't see the logic there at all.
Well, we should put them on chain gangs and make them like mow elderly white people's yards.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
For free.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they do when they come here anyway.
Well, but they get paid them to the table to do it.
Right.
Instead,
right. Oh,
just,
yeah.
Man. You know, enslave them. Did I say that? I meant pay them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they wetback mowing services is such a thing that just about anywhere you go now, if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, any department that you go to, you know, where they have an individual desk for that department, you know, be it lumber or carpet or whatever, you know, they'll have white people and black people working that thing, selling stuff to the contractors. But when you get over to the freaking lawnmowers, they always have two Mexicans working that thing. And like they sell the big riding and zero radius mowers now, like their cars, they sell them on credits. Like, yeah, you could pay this out by the month, and the places are just covered up in Mexico. So why should we be making it so easy on them like that and providing them all this easy credit with all this cushy equipment? Let's put them out there with some of the old rotary mowers that have no motor on them whatsoever that they have to push like a bastard, and just chain them together and make them do it.
Obsolete farm equipment.
It's like, yeah, yeah. And once they've served their time, then, you know, and we put them in the catapult and throw them back over the wall. We're like, yeah, come back anytime, fucker. You know, so, but I mean, this kind of thing, it's got to be a deterrent if they hear about it in Mexico that, you know, well, yeah, they've got this wall and like, you climb up it, you got to go really, really, really high. And then you get up there and they don't have no ladder to go down. You got to jump.
Yeah. Well, I mean, couldn't they use a rope or something? I don't know. And like rappel down?
Well, I think the walls, I mean, yeah, I guess you could, you know, like if you have the engineering mind of, say, you know, Batman or something.
Yeah.
But I think these walls, you know, they went through all these different prototypes and analyze them. And one of the things that they wanted to make sure that they couldn't do was that it wouldn't be so easy to scale them and go down them. Cause I mean, I'm sure you guys remember the videos where like they built some border wall here and there, and they had these giant beams on them, and these Mexicans would just walk over, and it was like the beams were ladders for them. They just grab on these things and climb right up and climb down. They just had like lines of them going up one side and down the other. And they wanted to make sure that it wouldn't work that way on these walls. I'm sure they're not all that thick. And just looking at pictures of them, there's nothing at the top to tie a rope to. So, I mean, you know, unless you came with like a rappelling hook.
Right. Well, you could tie it to the ladder, or you could leave a long lead down below to one of your or several of your, you know, wetback compadres down there to hold it for you as you go over.
Yeah.
I think that what we need to do in the United States is we need to start teaching climbing like they do in Mexico and kindergarten. You know what I mean? Because we can climb our side of the wall and do what we need to do while they're climbing their side of the wall trying to get in.
Yeah.
Because I think they have a big advantage over us as far as what's the old joke? Running, shooting, and jumping or whatever.
Well, yeah, the old joke was why doesn't Mexico ever win any gold medals? It's because every Mexican who can run, jump, or swim is already over.
That's true.
But, amen.
Yeah.
Let's fix that though.
Oh yeah, we definitely have to fix that. I don't remember where I saw it. It might have been on Daily Stormer, but I thought, man, what a great idea. I think it was like an article that was linked from Diversity Mock Fry or something like that, but it had a map on it, and like it's like, why don't we just build a canal and you know where the Rio Grande River runs, starting at the west end of the Gulf of Mexico, you know, down at the point of Texas, all the way over to California, going into the Pacific Ocean. They had like this on the map. They had like this 30-mile wide looking canal on there. And they're like, you know, this not only would this keep the Mexicans from coming, but I mean, it would make the United States rich. Nobody would use the Panama Canal anymore. They'd use this canal right here.
Fill it with sharks.
Yeah. Fill it with sharks, crocodiles, all that good stuff.
Piranhas.
And we could put it on pay-per-view.
That'd be great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, there's all kinds of things that should be on pay-per-view, you know, like,
that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, because like, you know, if we ever have our ethnostate and we actually return all of the blacks to Africa. Well, there would be one huge loss, and that would be all this entertainment that we get from watching them do their monkey shines. And so what we would have to do would be like to set up cameras all over Africa, and like Africa could be a 24/7 reality show that we watch.
Yeah, it could be like The Running Man or something. Watch them battle.
Yeah.
It's like that fake channel they tried to say that Trump was watching, but real. The guerrilla fighting channel?
Yeah. Well, I want it was the guerrilla channel. Yeah. I want the guerrilla channel. I remember when that happened. I must have called Netflix 1,000 times wanting to know why I wasn't getting the guerrilla channel.
I live next to Detroit. My life is the guerrilla channel.
Yeah.
There's no lie there.
Yeah. Yeah. The guerrilla channel. Well, the thing is, you know, what the blacks do is funny unless you're surrounded by it all the time. Then it isn't so funny. I mean, there's an article in the race war section that just got posted this evening that I noticed where it's like some black dude has stolen $60 worth of soap from a CVS. It's like, what? Why? You went in there, you stole $60 worth of soap. I mean, this is just proof that all you do is commit crimes.
Well, my favorite part about that article is just how England writes, you know, because I use $14 soap myself. They don't sell that shit at CVS, man. Jeez,
$14 soap.
Well, England's saying he uses it to make sure it doesn't have like soy or anything like that. Yeah. Weird chemicals.
Yeah, creeping through your pores and fucking turn your interior frogs gay and shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have a solution to that too. I don't have to buy $14 soap. I buy lye soap at the hardware store. It's good stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good stuff, man. It's kind of expensive. It's like $5 a bar, but the bar lasts forever. But I mean, when you scrub your ass with lye soap, you know you have been scrubbed.
Hey, you remember the other day, shout out to Texan Barbarian, when we were talking about the soap at Auschwitz. He's like, where's the lye?
Yeah. Well, it's in my bathroom. Yeah.
I could see myself paying $14 for a bar of soap, but it would have to have very specific ingredients.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is at least he didn't steal $6 million worth of soap.
Exactly.
You know.
His pants were probably baggy enough to fit $6 million worth of soap inside of, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are shoplifting machines, man. I mean, you got to hand it to them. They have a talent for that crap. I mean, you never see a video on YouTube of some fat white woman getting stopped coming out of the store, and they start saying, okay, shake your dress out, and like 20 hams and a couple of 10 pound roasts and 10 racks of ribs. Yeah. And all this crap just starts falling out of their bra and their dress and their panties and everything. I mean,
a baby comes out that they didn't know they were expecting.
Yeah. Well, That's the weirdest thing in the world there too. And apparently it happens to really obese women. Every now and then you'll read a story, and it's usually black women, but not always. But like, they'll be like, woman didn't even know she was pregnant and went to the hospital with all these pains. And sure enough, she was in labor. And I'm like, how did you not know? I mean, are you so fat that you don't even know when you're like having a period or something?
I got to take a shit out of my vagina.
Yeah. Something hurts down there.
Hey, I got a good one. Why do black people freak out when they get diarrhea?
They're afraid they're melting?
Yeah, they think they're melting.
Well, you know why sharks don't eat them?
Because they think they're whale shit.
Exactly.
And you know how they know they're pregnant?
How's that?
Well, because all the cotton is missing from the tampon.
Yeah. Well, you know why black people don't take aspirin, don't you? They refuse to pick the cotton out of the bottle. Yeah, these are the moldy oldies. But yeah, the wall, it's working. And as Lee points out in here, you know, they're talking about that. What is they say it would cost? It's like, let me look. It's $25 billion, they're saying, to build the entire border wall system. But even if it cost $100 billion, it would still be worth building. And I'm saying even if it cost $1 trillion, it would be worth building. I mean, we're somehow able to spend trillions having these wars in the Middle East to protect Israel's border. It seems like we could spend whatever it takes to protect our own.
Absolutely.
But I mean, even if it did cost, like, just say $100 billion, it seems to me like in a very short amount of time,
it would pay for itself.
We would make that. It would pay for itself just on, like, all the emergency room care that we have to give them and all the welfare benefits that we have to give them and the drag that they are on the economy and the way they, you know, they ship all our currency down to Mexico every payday and all that stuff. It would definitely pay for itself. But, even if it didn't pay for itself, though, it would be worth it because America's for white people.
But then who would mow the lawns?
I mow my own lawn, believe it or not.
No, but that's the argument everyone says. Oh, if you send them back, who's going to mow your lawns? Who's going to raise your kids?
Who's going to raise your fucking kids? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? I wouldn't accept payment for when you spix raising my kids. How about that? Let alone pay for it.
Yeah, no way.
Well, for a yard the size that I have, a Mexican will charge about $60 to mow it. And it has to be mowed at least once a week. So if I go and spend $1,000 on a riding lawnmower, it pays for itself real quick.
Well, yeah. you could just put like reins on one of the Mexicans if they're big enough and just use them as a riding lawnmower, right?
There you go.
I suppose. Yeah. Put a bit in their mouth and ride them like a donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them look like donkeys.
They really do.
Ocasio-Cortez, she looks like a donkey. Yeah, she is definitely that. That's her name is candidate donkey bitch. And we didn't plan on doing this story, but this is an interesting one. 100% of the candidates that she endorsed in these primaries and special elections that we just had lost.
Womp womp.
Yeah, there goes your. There goes your democratic socialism, with this big upstart and everything. I think the reason that she won her primary is just that people in her district are retarded.
Yeah, well,
that's got to be.
They're all Puerto Ricans, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, when they show like the average person on the street, yeah, the whole place has been taken over by mystery meat Hispanics.
Yeah,
so. I mean, I'm not sure what she is. She looks like, you know, the typical Mexican Latrina that lives down here. So, you know, maybe she's Mexican. I don't know.
I think she might be mixed, like a Puerto Rican, Dominican mystery something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're over 5 feet tall, they're all mixed with something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, what they like to call the indigenous people down there, you know, all the little squatty descendants of the Aztecs and the Mayans and all. I mean, you can pick them out right away.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. I mean, the vast majority of the Mexicans that you see anywhere and of, you know, Latinos coming from anywhere south of the border for that matter, are, you know, they call themselves mestizo. They're like, you know, some undefined mix of, Spaniard and, South American Indian and with a little bit of Negro slave thrown in there. And, you know, they mix it all up and it comes out real crappy, but
and gross.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, and this is a thing that a myth that needs to be dispelled is, you know, a lot of people, they think that because like the Mexicans, like maybe seem like they might work a little more than the blacks, or they might be easier to understand than the blacks or whatever, that they're smarter than the blacks. But actually, and I wish I had the article at the tip of my fingers where I could link it or whatever, but I'll tell the audience right now, I'm not going to bother to go and try to find it, but it was an article that I read on VDare, at least one. And like American Indians and, these mestizo Mexicans and all, their average IQs are actually lower, on average, according to most studies, than American blacks. Now, of course, American blacks have the highest IQs of all blacks anywhere because they have the most wide admixture.
Yes.
Their average IQ is about 85. Yeah. But these Mexicans, their IQ is about the same as the mean average of African blacks, you know, like down around 70. So there is literally no reason to bring them here.
Yeah, no, not at all. None.
Yeah. And like, you know, this judge that just ordered a plane to turn around and bring back these, this woman and her children or whatever, who were being deported because they had a hearing scheduled in his courtroom. If I remember correctly, they're the same ones, but there was some story in, it was in HuffPost or New York Times or whatever, and it was describing, and I think this was the same people, but if not, it was the same situation where they're talking about, you know, they got their request for refugee status, denied. Oh, no, it was on the ACLU's blog. They got their, request for refugee status denied because this poor, illiterate Central American woman and her poor, illiterate children wanted to come live here because she had married some non-indigenous man down there who abused her and made fun of her because she was indigenous and all. So, I mean, I guess these judges think that we should take every illiterate woman from south of the border as long as they can say, my husband, he no nice to me. That's refugee status. He no nice to me.
That's exactly what's happening. I used to know this Colombian guy who had a wife who was Peruvian, and she was like, you know, the Inca type Peruvian. And he would talk so much crap about her when he was mad at her, and say so many slurs about her being a dirty Indian. It was just the funniest shit to watch. It was quite comical. So they're pretty, you know, they're pretty racist down there towards the Indians as well.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if like say, you know, a man of German descent married in America, marries a woman of Polish descent, and he gets mad at her and says, well, you dumb Polak bitch. I mean, is she supposed to be able to like request refugee status in the UK or something?
That's a good point.
Yeah, asylum. Yeah, she gets asylum immediately.
You know, I mean, but yeah, I mean, the Latino culture is a very patriarchal culture, and the men are well known for, you know, having a strong pimp hand, which, I mean, I don't hold that against them, but it's no reason to be letting a bunch of you know, illiterate Inca bitches come live here forever.
No, absolutely not. No, no way. But you know, the left, the J left, to be more specific, they're looking for any reason to find a way to get these people in here. And that's their new reason.
Well, yeah, because if there's one thing we need, it's a whole bunch more illiterate morons to fucking vote.
Well, yeah, it drives me crazy. How do these people not see what's going on? Like, that's what drives me so crazy about normies. I just want to smack them upside of the head and wake them up. It's like, there are people out there whose agenda is to bring more people in here from places where they don't belong. You know, these people are bringing their worst. There are people out there who wake up in the morning like, how do we get more fucking pieces of shit in this country? How does that happen? How do people think that?
Yeah, but those people they're naturally conservative because they're Catholic. And most of them hire them to, you know, raise their kids.
No, I know that everybody that we're bringing in here is really, really good person, and that it's our moral responsibility to bring them all in. But, you know, it's just crazy to me.
We got to have at least one ugly Mexican bitch for every bush so that they all have somebody to marry. But
and learn Spanish to use during the presidential debate.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, somebody for Donald Trump to not apologize to refuse to apologize to. But you know, no, seriously. I mean, there's the William Pierce video that, you know, it's from his old radio show. And I encourage the listeners, if you've never heard it, and I'm sure most of you have, but if you've never heard it, go on YouTube and do a search for why the Jews love democracy, William Pierce. And he explains it completely. You know, we want a bunch. It's because the Jews want a bunch of illiterate, low IQ morons that they can bring in here and manipulate with television and media and all that to vote for whatever they want, to vote to get rid of our guns, to vote to get rid of our free speech, to vote to get rid of every kind of right we've got, to basically vote to let these freaking communists finally have their full takeover. And that, and that, and man, are they, before Trump went and decided to run for office, they had this thing in the bag. I mean, the Republicans and the Democrats both fell all over themselves to try to do anything they could to get more third worlders in here. The only thing that they might argue about is, you know, the Democrats would say, let them all come illegally and let's give them amnesty. And the Republicans would say, no, let's give all the ones who are here now amnesty, right, but make it to where they can all come legally after that.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's so fucking stupid. That's why they call it the kosher sandwich. I love that expression. It's the same fucking thing, man. It's a one-party system. We learned that long, long time ago. When I used to listen to Michael Savage on the radio. You know who that? You obviously know who that is, Asmodor.
Michael Wiener.
Well, yeah, dude, Michael Wiener is a good broadcaster.
Yeah, he's talented on the mic. Yeah.
So he was my guy.
He is after, the Jew, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But he's a good one.
hey, good buzzkill there.
He's one of the good ones.
I was just about to say something nice about him, man. Shit, I totally forgot.
I'm not like the other Jews.
But anyways, no, he was my guy after Rush Limbaugh, when Rush Limbaugh was a little too tame and I wanted a little more edge. You know, a little more edge, man. Michael Savage calls him retarded. He calls liberals retarded, man. That was the edge that I needed at the time, you know?
Right.
Well, Michael Savage was always ripping on Muslims, man.
But what did he say?
Always ripping on Muslims. And he was a good part of my red pilling process, man. But he would use vague terminology like the globalists and shit like that. And then when I finally found out that he was one of them, I was like, it makes so much sense, you know?
Right. Well, you know, that's an interesting point you bring up. Let's follow on that a little bit, because this could be helpful and revelatory for people who are out there trying to red pill, you know, borderline normie right wingers. You know, the thing is that everybody likes to name the Muzz, but the hard thing is to get them to acknowledge the Jewish thing. So back when you were listening to Limbaugh and Michael Savage and all, and you were into them naming the Muslim, what was it that maybe, what was the thing that, if you can point to one or maybe a couple of things, what was it that opened your eyes to the JQ?
The JQ didn't really have much to do with Rush Limbaugh or Michael Savage, to be honest with you. The JQ.
Well, of course not.
To me, I got red pill in the JQ, since you asked, from a documentary that a lot of people have seen called Marching to Zion.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Pastor Anderson, right?
Yeah, Pastor Anderson in Arizona. He's the best, man. But, dude, that got me so red pill. But I was listening to Rush Limbaugh when I was just a normie conservative, and then I just needed somebody who was willing to, just go a little bit further. So Savage was the guy. And then when I got red pilled on the JQ, I was like, oh my God, the guy who's been saying all this stuff's a fucking Jew all along.
Yeah. Well, you know what red pilled me on the Jews?
Alex Jones' supplements?
Was the black No, the black Hebrew Israelites.
Judah Mom!
I finally realized that the blacks were the real Jews, and these these Khazar babies running around were just Edomites, you know, because Judah mourned, and these Jews ain't in mourning. They run the Diamond District. That's right. But let's see. We're halfway through the second hour, so let's shift gears a little bit, and let's talk about the Sky King. You want to? Have you guys been following this story about the plane guy who stole the Alaska Airlines plane?
Yeah, I read and the article that, that we wrote, and it was
really good. Really good. Asmodor, but you got to refer to him by his proper name, my friend.
Was that Rich?
The Sky King.
Oh, the Sky Kang. Yeah, I thought I did. And but
Sky Kang is a different one, right? He's the other. We'll talk about him later.
No, the Sky King is way different than the Sky Kang.
Well, that's the thing. That's the contrast that we have here. We have Sky King and Sky Kang. But there's no pun intended, but the difference is night and day. I'm not as up on this story as I should be. I have listened to the audio, and something just made the guy say, screw it. And he got, I mean, I've seen videos from his, looking a guy than you would think he is by, you know, realizing that he's a guy who is not even a pilot, but stole like this airliner and went doing barrel rolls and loop de loops and stuff in it. And the conversation that he was having with the people at air traffic control and all, the guy was totally calm and he was cracking jokes, but you could tell throughout the whole thing that he realized like this was the end of his life. I'm sure he realized that before he climbed on the plane. I guess that's how he decided he was going to end his life. But apparently, it was at least partially due to, you know, he was disgruntled because at one point he asks the guy who's trying to talk him into landing somewhere. He says, well, if I land the plane at this airstrip, do you think they'll give me a job as a pilot? And the guy says, if you pull this off, they'll give you a job doing anything. He's like, oh, come on. I'm a white guy.
Yeah, no, that was the best
part. And well, I mean, it's very telling. It's very telling about what may have been going on with this guy. But, you know, one of the things in Weave's article that he talks about is like, you know, this is the type of crime that only white people commit. And he's absolutely right. I mean, you know, to actually get on the plane and go flying it around and have this weird, lighthearted conversation with the authorities and screw with them and all that, knowing that he's going to be dead at the end of it. But there is a counterpart to it in the community. This is from Fox 8. I think that's out of Texarkana. It says Texarkana, Arkansas. An 18-year-old man is accused of trying to steal an airplane so he could fly it to a rap concert. The Texarkana Gazette reported that Zemarcus Devon Scott is accused. Zemarcus.
No, man, say it right. It's Zemarcus, nigga.
Zemarcus is accused of jumping a fence at the Texarkana Regional Airport, getting inside of an American Eagle twin-engine jet last month. Police said they shined a light into the plane's cockpit and saw the suspect sitting in the pilot's seat. Scott has not been trained to fly an airplane.
Only pyramids.
He told authorities that he didn't believe that. Yeah, he's been trained to fly pyramids, but not airplanes.
He thought it was the same thing.
Wow. Yeah, they have a different control room.
Right. He told authorities that he didn't believe there was much more to flying than pushing buttons and pulling levers, according to an affidavit.
Damn. Well, Esmondor, I was just going to say, as you were reading that first article, you were saying how we've said that this could only be a crime committed by people. I said, well, I was going to say, obviously, think about all the reading that you have to do in that cockpit to get that plane off the ground.
Oh yeah.
No, I think it's a crime that could only be pulled off by a white person.
Right.
As you can see,
it could easily be a fucking harebrained concocted idea by anybody else, but who could actually get that bitch in the air? Yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing, another aspect of it that it's kind of a thing that only white people do is like, okay, you know, I'm fed up. Everything sucks. And so I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to get in this thing and I'm going to do stunts in a passenger airliner like I'm one of the Blue Angels, and I'm going to keep doing it until I crash. And, you know, the guy actually pulls it off. But with the black guy, the motivation is always nothing like that. He's like, well, you know, it'd be a rap concert. Shit, man. I bet I jump the fence. I just fly one of these planes. There ain't nobody going to catch me.
I'm going to go pull bitches in this thing, man. Bitches going to hop up in this.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. This spear chucker is so intelligent that, you know, he actually thought that he could jump the fence at an airport, steal a commercial airliner, fly it to the town where the rap concert is going on, land it, get out, go attend the rap concert, and get away with this crap.
So Asmodor, I gotta ask you, does that make him an above average IQ nigger?
No. No, I'll bet you the slightly above average, you know, the ones who are pushing 90 IQ, if he had have mentioned this to them, they'd be like, nigga, you crazy. Them white people, they gonna catch you. Yeah, look, I mean, you know, you think it's a game. This ain't no game. Them white people ain't fucking around with them airports and airplanes and shit, man. Shit.
I kind of wish he did lift off and fly wherever he was going. Perhaps, maybe, he could have crashed into the concert and, you know, who knows what would have happened there.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And, like a good fireworks show for him, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the scant description, you know, it says, police said they shined a light into the plane's cockpit and saw the suspect sitting in the pilot seat. You know he was sitting in the pilot seat going... Shit! I mean, he's looking.
Around. Make a meme of that.
Yeah, where the key? I got to put the key in the ignition, ain't I?
I could just imagine him like trying to like make a quick stop at like his baby mama's house and just like plowing it into her driveway.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean. And obviously, I mean, well, of course, he's so low IQ that maybe he had flown on an airplane and stuff. And I've never flown into Texarkana, but I used to go visit my father now and then when he lived up north, and I would take a short commuter plane to Shreveport. And like, I would always, and of course, it's professional pilots that were flying the plane. Back then, they were all white. Like, this was the 90s. But it would kind of, I mean, I didn't fly regularly, so it would kind of scare me because when that commuter plane would be coming down the last 2 or 3 miles before it hit that airport, I mean, you'd look down and it looked like you were just going to run right into the telephone wires and stuff. And I can't imagine anybody who doesn't know how to fly thinking, well, yeah, I can do all this. Yeah, it'd be easy. He probably thought, well, I'm just going to fly. I'll just get there early and land this right in the parking lot of the stadium. or who knows? I mean, maybe he had been watching old Bugs Bunny cartoons and he thought that he was going to fly the plane. And when he landed it, he was going to like aim it straight at the ground. And right before it hit, he'd jump off and, you know, be fine like Bugs Bunny. I mean, the truth of the matter is we'll never know what was going through his head, but
nothing.
Well, air from one ear to the other. I mean, but you know, black people, when it comes to this type of story, they really are the gift that keeps on giving. Like I'm going to go just as an experiment. Let's go.
Well, I wouldn't call them people, but yeah.
Well, black creatures.
There you go.
But I'm going to click on the race war section. And let's see what it brings up. Well, it's all for the most part, it's very black pill. I mean, you know, it's just murder and rape one right after the other. But black man breaks into fried chicken joint, crawls on floor hunting for bucket. That's one headline, right? And here's another one. I meant to bring this up. I didn't link this to you guys when we were doing prep. I don't know if you saw it or not, but this is kind of in my backyard here. Black trannies go on robbery spree.
All right, I got to pull this up right now, too, as hold on.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah, it's in Fort Worth. This is Fort Worth police are asking for help from the public identifying and locating one of two men who dressed as women entered a Family Dollar store and robbed the business after holding employees at gunpoint. The two men had detailed disguises that included wearing female wigs and makeup. In other words, they were trannies.
Fucking RuPaul was robbing the place.
Yeah. Police say the pair entered the store, briefly pretended to be shoppers, then took out handguns. They forced two employees to lie on the floor while threatening their lives and stole money and cigarettes.
No soap, though?
Got to get them Newports.
Yeah. The officers were able to quickly respond to the scene, arriving just as the suspects were leaving the store. One man ran away while the other went back inside the store. Police gave chase after the fleeing suspect, but were unable to capture him. But they did catch, it's not quoted in here, but if you watch the video, they did capture the other guy. The other guy thought, well, he'll just find him a good spot inside the store and hide. And he'll, I mean, what the hell? And
so they got into a foot chase? Is that what they're saying?
They got into a foot chase with one of them, and the other one hid inside the store and got caught.
And the one that got into the foot chase got away in heels?
Apparently. Well, I was going to say apparently he kicked off his high heels. But, I mean, this is what we have come to in clown world. Now you can't go to the Family Dollar store without a bunch of nigger bullfruits coming in and pointing guns at everybody, wanting money in Newports. But I mean, but you talk about the low IQ, you know, in Texas, if you pull out a gun and you point that gun at people and you demand things from them, it's aggravated robbery, no matter where you're doing it.
They get the best deals.
And so why would you go to a dollar store?
Well, it's cheaper. Listen, Esmer, listen to this logic. Okay.
I mean, I can't think that you're going to make it out of this.
It's cheaper to rob at the dollar store. Because that shit's only a dollar.
I see.
No, I think how they like to have lots of wads of cash. Doesn't matter the denomination. That's just what they like to have in their pocket. So they figure they'll get more dollar bills there.
Yeah, it's just a bigger wad.
Dollar store.
To take.
Shit, it's called a dollar store. You know they're going to have dollars, nigga.
Yeah, they're going to go straight to the strip club from the dollar store robbery. That makes
exactly. We don't even need to get change and shit, nigga. We got dollars.
No, now we're really talking about some high IQ Negroes over here, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of goes along with the same thing as, you know, you take a little tiny small child, like a 3 or 4 year old child, and you hold up a nickel and a dime and you tell them, which one do you want? You always okie doke them because they take the bigger one. You know, But I mean, you're right. They do like to have a big wad of cash. When I was in the blue collar workforce, there were several Negroes that I knew who would, on payday, they would cash their check at whatever, you know, check cashing van would pull up to the plant or whatever. And they'd tell them, Give me that. Give me one $100 bill and the rest of it in wands. And they would take and they would roll it all up and they'd put that $100 bill on the outside of it and put a big rubber band around it. And I'd be like, what are you doing that for? Like, well, you know, I'm going to be running around tonight. I'm going to be showing this off to the ladies. Them ladies, they all going to want to be with me. And, you know, sure enough, sooner or later, you know, somebody come back and they'd be saying, yeah, oh, Freddie, he went down showing that off to the ladies and somebody hit him on the back of the head and took his wallet. You know?
I figured he would have already had that spent like before he even got to his destination.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, because I thought that like usually the Negresses are the ones who foot the bill on everything.
Well, I mean, whatever they can buy with food stamps, I suppose.
No, they trade them for straight cash. Yeah. Well, how do you think I got this microphone, man?
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
Yeah.
That is a problem. And that's an immigration problem, too, because you read about this stuff all the time. And that's why they went to, you know, doing it on cards. You know, they got electronic EBT cards that, like, every state has a different one. But, they used to hand out actual food stamps, and the food stamps kind of looked like Monopoly money. You know, some of them would be worth a dollar and some of them be worth five and 20 and so on.
Yeah.
But you can only buy food with them. And they had a couple of problems with it. One of the problems was that they would waste the money. I remember, like, I was in line at a grocery store and I saw an old homeless nigger getting thrown out because he had tried to, like, you know, they always would hope that they didn't have, like, smaller food stamps in the register to give for change. So if they bought a small something with a $10 or $20 food stamp, they'd hand them back cash, but they almost always had it. And so I don't know if he was trying to get money for a hit of crack rock or a few faulties or whatever, but he was going back in the store over and over, and, like, he would grab one pepper, you know, or so, you know, something that cost 10 or 20 cents, and he'd bring it up and spend a $1 food stamp on it and get the change back, and he'd go back in the store and get another one, and, like, he was trying to work up 10 bucks in change or whatever. And so there was that. And then there was also, you know, you got all these Arabs and other swarthy, nasty groups that own all the convenience stores and stuff, especially in the hood. And they'd go in there with these food stamps and they just straight up, they'd be like, "Hey, man, I got $100 food stamp. What you give me for it?" I give you $50. You know, so they give 2 for 1 on the food stamps. So they go to the electronic ones. Well, so now they're just like, "Well, okay, let me just charge you up $100 worth of stuff on your card and I'll give you $50. And that's how they do it. And it's always, you know, you never see, well, of course, I mean, you almost never see a white convenience store owner anymore anyway.
No, never.
Not around here.
But it's always Arabs or Mexicans that you see getting busted doing this, being the ones who facilitate.
They're running commercials on the local radio station around me right now. Threatening, it's a felony if you sell your bridge card. So it must be a big problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's, that's right. But I mean, yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, there are lots and lots of these people or whatever they are who are on all these benefits, simply because, like, they just want to sit around and drink and do dope all the time. And so, you know, these single black mammies, you know, they have a few babies and they get all these benefits. Well, they got their squalid housing and their bills paid for and all that. And so they get a certain amount, you know, however many $100 of cash benefits every month. And they spend all that up on crack and Colt 45 or whatever on the first. And then, you know, they're like, "Well, it's the second and I need a hit." And they go sell their food stamps. And so then to feed themselves, they go to the churches, you know, their food banks and crap. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole.
And we're paying for all of it.
We're paying for 100% of it. You betcha.
Fun.
Yeah.
So are you saying we got to go help them out and do a little donation work for them and just give them a little bit more than what we've already been giving them for fucking years and years and years and years and years? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I think we need to follow Sweden's example and just give them their drugs for free. Mm. You know, Sweden has,
and hope that they OD.
Yeah. Well, Sweden has announced that they're going to start giving the heroin addicts free heroin. So
really,
that's a quick way to get rid of the problem.
Well, you know, they did this in the UK forever and it actually reduces the ODs. So no, it doesn't solve the problem. Yeah. But I mean, I remember seeing the documentaries like on PBS when I was, teenager, early 20s, and they would show these people and they're like, "Yes, we get our medical heroin," and like they'd had, you know, the FedEx men or whatever, the mailman would come knock on the door and he'd have a box and they'd open it up and there'd be like 50 glass vials and a box of syringes in it. And they'd say, "Oh yes, let me fix." And they're like, "Oh yes, my life is so much more manageable now that the government gives me my heroin." I'm like, "Yeah, I bet."
Unbelievable.
I bet.
Don't they already get like their housing for free?
They get everything for free, man. Oh, their God. Phones.
Yeah.
You name it.
Man. Well, it's like, I mean, yeah. You know, it's like a.
Keep Obama president, you know?
Forever.
He gave,
yeah, Romney ain't giving us a bounce.
Yeah. He gave us a phone. He's going to do mo.
But, Obama! Yeah, man. That's a classic.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I believe, yeah, we have bumped up to the end of the first episode of the Mark III lineup of, I was about to say Hidden Mysteries Radio. I'm either getting old or I'm getting tired of the Crypto Report. And I think it has been a great episode. I know the audience is going to like it. You guys were great. I'm looking forward to a long and successful run of the Crypto Report with you guys as my co-host. We will be back next Monday with Don and Fash and maybe even a guest or two. So everybody watch for that, and we'll talk to you later.